This is Shelley Owens, Mayor. It's 7 p.m. and I'd like to call the April 8th, 2024 general meeting of the Gustavus City Council to order. Roll call, please, Madam Clerk.
Vice Mayor Taylor.
Here.
Councilmember Driscoll.
Here.
Councilmember Patrick.
Here.
Councilmember Makoviac.
Here.
Councilmember Bishop.
Here.
Councilmember Taylor.
Here.
Madam Mayor.
Here.
We have a quorum.
Okay, before we get started, Councilmember Driscoll, could you give us, read the vision statement for us?
We envision a distinctive community that prospers while and by protecting its natural resources, with a sustainable economy and infrastructure that assures public health and safety while promoting personal development and initiative, and where all members take social responsibility and actively participate in decision-making affecting growth, development, regulation, and enforcement, and in which people retain a closeness with and caring for each other individually and collectively while working together to accomplish community goals and preserve community traditions.
Thank you. And before we start, we want to ask the public to mute your phones and keep the video off. The meeting will be recorded and posted to our website, and the packet will be projected tonight and is also available online at www.gustavus-ak.gov. And we will start with the first item, which is approval of the general meeting minutes for March 11th, 2024. Councilmember Patrick, do you make the motion?
Yes, Rachel Patrick here. I move to approve by unanimous consent the March 11th, 2024 general meeting minutes.
And is there a second?
I'll second that.
Okay. And that's Jim Moskowiak. The minutes have been previously, the motion is moved to approve by unanimous consent the March 11th, 2024 general meeting minutes, moved by Councilmember Patrick and seconded by Councilmember Moskowiak. The minutes have been previously distributed. Do any members of the public wish to offer any additions or corrections to the minutes? Okay, seeing none. Do any council members wish to make any additions or corrections? Okay, and seeing none. Are there any objections to approving by unanimous consent the March 11th, 2024 general meeting minutes? And hearing no objections, the motion is passed by unanimous consent. The next item is the mayor's request for agenda changes, and I'll be making a motion to postpone item number 10 to the May meeting when we get to that item. Are there any requests from the council for agenda changes? Okay. Are there any objections to adopting the agenda by unanimous consent? And hearing no objections, the agenda is set by unanimous consent. Next item is committee reports and staff reports. We'll invite the presenters in the order listed on the agenda to speak. State your name, department, and keep reports to 5 minutes or less. And we actually have a timer now. After that... We'll offer the council an opportunity to ask clarifying questions. First up is Fire Chief Sol Martinez with the Gustavus Volunteer Fire Department quarterly report.
Hello, everyone. My name is Sol Martinez. I'm here for the representing the Gustavus Volunteer Fire Department. We did have a couple of EMS calls since January and one fire call. And before, everyone was like trying to figure out what fire call. I'm classifying everything that's not EMS into fire. So this is changing someone's light bulb who can't get on a ladder, or stuff like that. And this, that happened to be that instance. So no one actually had a fire. It just wasn't exactly a medical call. So, it's something that we can actually classify, and we don't bill for it either. So it's not like I'm sending someone a bill. So I want to congratulate the students in January who took my first ETT class that we hosted here. It lasted around 3 weeks because we split it to make sure everybody has time to do their own day jobs too. So I was very glad that we had time that will allow them to become EMT-1 come next month. So next, we're able to essentially submit an application for the American Firefighter Grant for the new water tender. We're haven't had any news on it. I don't expect we have much news at this time, but kind of hopeful, but we'll see how it goes. Other than that, it's kind of remind the council a little bit that we did receive money for a Lucas chest compression device of $7,000. We're still short of $17,211.05. Again, this is just going to help volunteers alleviate some stress of a CPR event. It replaces manual compression to a mechanical device. Other than that, remind let people know the tsunami siren is actually not working right now. There's a reason why you actually probably didn't hear it in the last couple months. It's in diagnosing works. It's we're trying to figure out what is wrong with it. So the work a little bit on the EMS coordinator Leah's who's currently heading down to Sitka in the conference right now. She is working with upgrading some technology of for the fire department and ambulance. There's some move in the EMS world that a lot of apps are coming our way essentially, and it will behoove us to help upgrade our technology to match it, so we're not running behind essentially. Other than that, we're going to be currently working on an RFQ to repaint the building. Not to change the color or anything like that, just trying to refresh it, essentially. I'm trying to complete some project scoping documents is currently here at City. So it hasn't been announced yet, but so hopefully that'll come out soon. Also remind everybody, I announced last week or two, burn permits are required now starting April 1st, ending in August 31st. Feel free to come to the fire hall or City Hall. We can print it out for you. Or you can go online and print it out yourself. It's in the email. And unfortunately, I did not include it in my report, but if anybody asks, I can send it to you too. It is free, and it's something that you print out, sign, and keep with you. It's anything larger than a campfire. So if you still want a campfire, you don't need a burn permit for a campfire. But burn barrels, anything, small brush piles, if you're burning a field less than an acre, you'll need this permit. Anything larger than that, you need to call the Department of Natural Resources, the Forest Service, essentially, to get a large-scale permit. So other than that, I think I got it.
Okay, thank you. Any council members with questions? Council member Driscoll?
So, hey, you did good. You're still got time left on your timer. there we go. So I just wanted to clarify and see if you listened in on our meeting last week where we talked a little bit about the Lucas compression device. And we talked about how it would be good if you actively pursued grants for, say, the next 6 months, but if you didn't find the money for it, we are talking about funding it in-house. And so if you'll be sure to, you know, maybe actively look for and maybe work with Kathy in finding this a grant potentially, but that we did talk about as a council, we thought it was a really important thing.
Unfortunately, I got caught up in another task last month, so I couldn't get to, couldn't attend, but I did hear a little bit of a discussion from people who have been there. So, but yeah, it'd be fantastic if the city council would kind of pay it. So by the end of the year, hopefully we'll have it. I am still working on a grant for the Helping Brothers grant. I never applied for that before, but working on some touching up some of the application and hopefully send it in relatively soon.
Great.
And I think we haven't heard from USDA about anything from them either, which I don't think we're going to get too much. So.
Okay. Thank you. Any further questions? Okay. All right. Thank you, Chief Martinez. Next up is City Clerk Liesl Barker.
Hello, Lisa Barker, City Clerk here. So I can't believe it's already been 3 months since the last report. I know that my report looks long, but it's just because I like short little bullet points. Nice job on the timer flip, Janine. So I like to break it into things, bigger things I've been doing outside of the day-to-day tasks. A lot of the clerk's job is the same stuff, just a new day. But some of the things is I'm continuing to work on updating the website, making more fillable links, making sure microsites and parent sites are linked properly, and just trying to educate myself more on how our website works to be able to continue these updates. Since my last report, we had the Salmon River Playground Edition ribbon cutting ceremony, as well as the City of Gustavus 20th anniversary open houses. So those were just some additional items. I had help with the ribbon cutting with Jesse Soder, and then Janine and Sandy Schroth helped with the open house. I made the new timesheets with a mini training video to go with it per the city administrator's request. Well, not the video, but the timesheets, but I like the video part. I thought I was pretty tech savvy with it. I was proud. I'm also starting to work on updating the 2024 business directory. And with that, I would love to put some new pictures on there. The old ones are great, but if we can freshen it up, I would love it. So if anybody has pictures that would correlate with businesses or things about Gustavus that would be part of a business directory, if they could send it to clerk@gustavus-ak.gov, I would love to have it. You will get photo credit for it. In the last couple months, I also finished my parliamentary procedure made easy training. So I'm going to start coming down on you guys a little harder now that I'm a little more educated. Not really. But I am trying to learn more. It's helping me take those steps towards becoming a registered parliamentarian, as well as I attended the clerk RUBA training in Anchorage, which was very educational, made also a lot of good connections for when I don't have answers to questions of people who I can reach out to. I also applied for a travel grant for that training, and the unofficial word is that I will be receiving it, and it should be here by May. I have two trainings that are coming up. I have the International Institute of Municipal Clerks training, and that's at the end of May, and then Northwest Clerks Institute Professional Development training, and that's in the beginning of June. The second one I also received a scholarship for, $1,800 to help offset some of that cost of training. And then the goals and projects, they're pretty much the same of what I stated the last time, just trying to keep on plugging away at them. One of the things I do have, I reached out to the librarians, and we're going to be setting up time for me to sit down and teach them about our website so that they can start offering those training classes. I'm hoping to do that in the next month or so once Leanne returns. And that is pretty much it. Anything else? You can read that wonderful document. Any questions?
I see no questions in the room. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you. Hey, Ben, get out here quick. There's enough time for you to share everyone.
A little more because you get to her and she didn't. And got plenty of time.
Thanks, Janine. You guys know how much I like to use up as much time as possible out here. Ben Sadler, City Treasurer. I only have a few things to go over. More or less how I've been spending my time working on the capital improvement plan, the budget, and finishing up on the audit. The capital improvement plan, I wanted to just point out that last week I was missing those four amounts, dollar amounts. Three of them I was able to get in before the packet went out, so they are in the packet. The one I wasn't able to get in is the Good River Bridge. We got an estimate of about $327,000 to finish the bridge part of that project. I was looking through the profit and loss today, highlighting stuff, and I just noticed that it just kept looking better and better. And so I thought the only two things that I would bring up there are that currently our total income, we're sitting at 90.2% of what we budgeted. Last year at this time, we were sitting at 85.4%. And in expenses, the same thing. This year, we're sitting at 63.1% so far spent, whereas last year at this time, we were at 61.7%. So basically, just like last year, we're right where we expected to be at this time of the year. The only other thing I wanted to bring up to the council and the community, I guess, is that in my attempt to keep the checking account to get it lower, and we moved out the capital funds. We put them into the capital current AMLIP account so that we could make more money off those. And I got a little overzealous, I think. And so ideally, according to the standards by which we should be keeping our money in the bank account, we want to have between 17 and 25% of the budget for the entire fiscal year. And currently we're sitting at 11%. So that's still over $126,000. And I'm not necessarily worried that we're going to go broke in the meantime, but what I would like to do is before the budget work session, I'd like to spend 5 minutes in a special meeting where I can introduce an NCO. I'll have a dollar amount at that point to introduce an NCO, and then just kind of have that in our back pocket so that at the May meeting, if we need to, that would be our second meeting where we could approve the NCO and get that money back into the checking account. Between now and then, maybe, you know, enough revenue will come in where I'll feel more comfortable with it. But I think that would be the wise move. And so that's all I have, unless you guys have questions.
Are there any questions from council members? Okay.
Thank you,
Ben. Mm-hmm. And last but not least is City Administrator Kathy Leary.
Hi, good evening. Kathy Leary, City Administrator. So for my report, I just wanted to let you know we did execute that contract with HDR to review our capital improvement and other projects and to help us make recommendations for prioritizing and providing direction for funding sources. I hope to meet with Aura this week and kind of get on a schedule to see when she might have time to meet with us all, like in a work session. I spent all of last week at the Infrastructure Development Symposium and the Alaska Grant Symposium, which was sponsored by the Alaska delegation with key federal and state departments represented there to talk to you about funding resources and programs. Most of the sessions I attended during the Infrastructure Symposium were for our transportation needs. Some of the other ones are a little more cut and dry. The transportation needs and resources are very convoluted and very complex. I put a link on there in case anybody wants to look at any of the presentations. And they also discuss transportation planning initiatives. Their idea is to create a regional planning organization, RPOs, around the state. And I think Southeast Conference is going to take that one up for Southeast to help everybody, because we don't want to do little small RPOs like Icy Strait RPO. I mean, it would be kind of difficult. So one of the reasons I mention this is we can have a place at the table as a member of that RPO once it's established. And I was just thinking maybe a council member might want to represent Gustavus once it's formed. I mean, it's not that I can't, but it might be wise to have a council member involved and invested in it as well. Or if one's not available, the other one could. So I'm putting that out there. Additionally, the Alaska Municipal League, you can see on the attachment, my report's not on the attachment, but the document that AML sent out wanting to come over here and help us also meet to talk about projects, because they also keep a huge informational database on projects. So it's on their radar to help out if they can. So that is attached. There's a link to that document in your in the agenda. Senator Murkowski was there and she addressed everybody and talked about the money she was able to get for the state and what's coming up, what she intends to try to get for the state, and also that she was able to fully fund the PILT. I had a chance to talk to her briefly, and I thanked her on behalf of all of us for the appropriations that she gave to the landfill. I mentioned to her that since we didn't get the Swiffer grant, I put in, so I submitted a CDS application for that project for FY25. And I asked her if they'd keep it on their radar as sort of a phase two of the landfill upgrade project. So I don't know if it'll go anywhere, but we put it in, and there's still other places we can apply for that too. The latest thing on the law enforcement is they've identified three law enforcement people that would be flying over on the plane every day. They've identified a funding source, but right now they're kind of stuck with state of Alaska compensation rules and bargaining unit issues and factors. And so the South Coast director and the deputy director are working with public safety on it. And it's just another hurdle to jump over, but it was one that was unexpected. So they've got different bargaining units. We continue to work on boundary commission stuff and other lands issues. And I got some information from Jed Smith today that PILT is supposed to be population driven and not geographically driven. He still doesn't have that in writing for me, but we may not have an impact with PILT, but I'm not going to hold my breath till they send something proving it in writing. And that's the same thing with the forest receipts. They're having a hard time getting an explanation on how that's calculated. We've been having meetings with the mayor and the city departments for budget. And I know, as you guys are aware, we're going to have to make some cuts. We don't have the anticipated federal revenues that we had in the last 3 years. We were hoping to add funds to our roads budget and get some up-to-date telecommunications for EMS, but we may have to ask for that separately in a separate NCO. Last but not least, we are reviewing the remodel status with Ken McGowan to go over remaining tasks for the old PO building so he can open it as a bike shop. We did spend a lot on the electrical conversion, so we're probably going to have to add a few funds to that project, but we don't know what it is yet until I meet with him. So that's just some of the major items among many. I don't know if you have any questions, but it was a busy week last week.
Thank you, Kathy. Does anyone have any questions? Hey, and I don't see any hands. Thank you very much. And let's see, now we're up to the public comment on non-agenda items. This public comment period is for non-agenda items only and not intended for discussion. The council may ask clarifying questions only. If you would like to make public comments on non-agenda items, please click the participants icon and then the hand icon to raise your hand. If you don't have that option, unmute your phone and the clerk will add you to the list and remute you until it is time to speak. State your full name before speaking and refrain from speaking if your comments have already been addressed by another speaker. Please don't use profanity and be respectful in your comments. You'll have one opportunity to comment here and again during public comment before the end of the meeting. Comments should be kept brief. Set a 2-minute time limit if necessary, which I think Madam Clerk will be doing. Thank you. Do any members of the public wish to speak at this time? Okay, Jim Kearns, I believe you have your hand up. Hey, Jim, your hand is up, but you'll need to unmute. Okay, maybe we can come back to you the next time we offer public comment on non-agenda items. Are there any other members of the public that wish to address any items to us? Okay. Next,
Susan Warner. Could I ask a quick question? Sorry, I can't raise my hand through my computer here. Could I ask a quick question?
You bet.
Is it possible to get the administrator's report and the packet? I'm having really a hard time reading it from off of the projected screen, and I was having a hard time following it. So it would be very helpful to get that report into the packet because that I can read. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm sorry for that. I just did it today because I was gone all week last week. So it just happened today and didn't have time to get into the packet, but we can certainly, it'll be posted with everything else.
So, Susan, this is Lisa Barker, the clerk. They will be, a copy of her report will go out at all three posting sites, as well as it will also be updated on our website under the government page under administration. There's a section that has a year's worth of reports for each department.
And okay. I will have that Thank you. There
hopefully by the end of the week.
Madam Mayor, this is Jim Kearns. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Go ahead, Jim.
Yeah, sorry, I couldn't. It went unmute, but I figured out how to do that. Hey, I just have a quick comment. You'll know what it is. I'd like to see something, you know, see the city start thinking about putting a wave barrier in down at the dock. And I noticed Kathy Leary sent me information about a grant opportunity that needs to be in by May. So I'm out of town at the moment. If you need help, I come down and help put it together. But we should take a look at that. Second one is, I haven't seen the roads lately. I'm hoping they're better than they were when I left. But if we could figure out some way to pave the road out Wilson out to the gravel pit. And I'm thinking that we should try to figure out how to turn that into a state road and then have the state work with it on it. And then finally, I was talking with Michelle Olney and I heard about situation with their right of way out there. And I think it's pretty unethical that you guys in the city council would go around them and not interact with them on trying to get access out there to the hydro plants. So okay, I just wanted to make sure that was there.
Point of order, Madam Clerk.
Point of order. That item is actually on the agenda. So if you could keep your comment till we get to that section, I would greatly appreciate it.
Sure. Sure, that'll be great. Yeah, thanks. Okay, I'm done. Thank you.
Okay. Do council members want to ask any clarifying questions of Jim or Susan? Okay. And let's see, what do we have next? The consent agenda. We have one item, the introduction of capital project funding 2024, Salmon River Park Playground Equipment Expansion Project Phase 2. This will be up for public hearing on May 13th, 2024. Do any members of the public wish to have any item removed from the consent agenda? Okay, not seeing any. And do any council members wish to have any item removed from the consent agenda? Okay, not seeing any. All right. Vice Mayor Taylor, would you move to adopt the consent agenda?
Yes, I move to adopt the consent agenda by unanimous consent as presented.
And is there a second? Okay. And
second, yeah, that was Taylor. I didn't have my mic on.
Okay, that's Mike Taylor. All right, we have Vice Mayor Brian Taylor move to adopt the consent agenda by unanimous consent as presented, seconded by Mike Taylor. Are there any objections to adopting the agenda by unanimous consent? Hearing none, the consent agenda is passed by unanimous consent. Coming up on new business, item number 7 is FY24-13 NCO, Introduction of Capital Project Funding 2024 for Landfill Expansion. Okay. Public hearing, May 13th, 2024. Do I have a motion?
Yeah, Kyle Bishop here.
Okay.
I move to introduce FY24-13 NCO Introduction of Capital Project Funding 2024 for Landfill Expansion up for public hearing on May 13th, 2024.
Okay. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Okay. Vice Mayor Taylor. And I can present a brief explanation of the landfill expansion here. The Okay, good. And Ian is also online for if there are any questions. This we have talked about for a while. It was the project development form was approved by the council on February 20th, 2024. And it also called the Balefill Expansion Project. The goal is to have an area large enough for a minimum of 20 years of solid waste accumulation with potential for more depending on the growth of the community. The current landfill has been accumulating waste for 30 years, but the community has grown substantially. It's also in terms of the, it's also in the description appendix C. It describes that there'll be work on the mound expansion project would include trees and brush removal, tree planting, long areas visible from State Dock Road or DeBoer subdivision, earthwork to level the area, and removal of sections of the existing fence and construction of new fencing around the periphery of the combined area B and northern third of area C. Ian, if you wanted to make any comments or take any questions, just raise your hand. Do any? Let's see here. You're looking at me. Okay. yes, thank you. Do any members of the public wish to comment at this time on this item? Okay, seeing none.
His hand's been up. He didn't take it down.
Okay. And yes, Jim, your hand is still up. Shall we the council debate with the maker of the motion being the first? I think that was Kyle. Is there any discussion about this item at this time? Seeing none, are we ready for the question? Okay. The question is on the adoption of the motion to introduce FY24-13 NCO, Introduction of Capital Project Funding 2024 for Landfill Expansion, set for public hearing on May 13th, 2024. Okay. May I have a roll call vote, Madam Clerk?
Councilmember Driscoll?
Yes.
Councilmember Patrick?
Yes.
Councilmember Makoviak?
Yes.
Councilmember Bishop?
Yes.
Councilmember Taylor?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Taylor?
Yes.
Madam Mayor?
Yes.
The motion passes.
Okay, Madam Clerk, I have a question. It looks like when we pass through the consent agenda, the Salmon River Park Playground Equipment Expansion, we didn't have a discussion about it. Should I move back and take that up?
No. Sorry. Lisa Barker, Clerk. There could have been a summary provided during that time period, but I don't think it is needed. Nobody had any questions or comments during that time, so I think we're good to proceed.
Okay. I'll ask any council members if they wish to have a report on that. You've previously discussed it a number of times. Okay, thank you. All righty. The next item is number 8 on new business. Approve CIP project development form for same old road. And do I have a motion?
Yes, this is Councilmember Taylor, and I move to approve CIP project. Let me make sure we are on number 8, right?
Yes.
I want to make sure I'm reading the right one. Thanks. Okay. Yeah, I move to approve CIP project development form for same old road.
Okay. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Okay. We've got Taylor and Taylor. All right. And would someone like to perhaps the maker of the motion, Councilmember Taylor, give a summary of the item?
Sure. This project the scoping document approves us to begin work on a project to correct drainage problems along same old road and end of the trail. And you see the map on the, at least it was on the screen there a minute ago, that shows the area where the project will occur. And the intent is to eliminate flooding problems or control flooding problems that we have on two sections of same old road, the north-south section on the left side of the red box there. That's runs from Tim Sunday's place and Chuck Bales down at the corner there, up to where the road takes a 90 degree to the east and then goes along the subdivision edge there. And then at that point, it reaches the intersection for into the trail. And into the trail also has problems with standing water on it that create a lot of road maintenance problems and make it difficult to drive on. So we will ditch that section also. So we would ditch those three sections of road, and then we will clean the ditch along the bottom of that subdivision. That's the ditch that Glenn Parker built along the southern edge of his homestead, and it flows from the corner in the lower left of that box to Glenn's ditch. And so we will pull ditches along both sides of the road is the intent, and install 18-inch culverts. We're expecting 18-inch culverts under all the driveways that already exist along there, that the ones that don't have culverts at this point. So that's the project.
All right, thank you. Do any members of the public wish to comment? Seeing no hands. Would council members like to comment at this time on the? Yes, go ahead, Vice Mayor Taylor.
I'll just briefly reiterate what I mentioned in our work session for anyone who wasn't listening in then as well, about how we've had some concerns raised about PFAS potentially being transported from areas where we're looking at ditching here. And I believe at that point, we had it on the initial scoping project form. I'm not sure if that's, we need to update the scoping document here to include PFAS again. But I just wanted to reiterate my concerns around making sure we're at least doing any testing possible to make sure we're not making that problem worse as we do this project, but totally happy to vote to approve this scoping document at this phase.
Okay. And go ahead, Ben. Treasurer.
Ben Sadler, City Treasurer. So I figured this would come up. And so I just thought I would come out and mention that we did receive a bill from Shannon and Wilson today for the Glenn's ditch sampling that we did. It was in February and March, and it was $5,566 is what it cost for the single sampling event. And so we have done that. I don't know how many more times we'll do it, but it sounded like it was just going to be a few hundred dollars or whatever for a sampling event. And I wanted to point out to the council that it's not a few hundred dollars. It's a major undertaking. And we have just done that.
Okay. Thank you, Ben.
So,
okay, go ahead, Councilmember Driscoll.
So were there test results that we got from that testing?
I just get the bills. I'm not sure. I'm sure there are test results, but I didn't receive them.
Did Kathy, do you know them?
Mike would probably better describe them, but there's two things going on. One is the testing that we get here, that we were getting the garden, although we didn't get the garden in the winter, but we had been getting the community garden, the tap water here at the library, at the fire hall. That was a separate thing. When the Glenn's ditch issue came up, we piggybacked on them coming over to do the DOT testing, so we didn't have to pay so much for their trip and stuff like that. They did core samples out of Glenn's ditch for the Glenn's ditch project. I don't know how that relates to the old same road project unless it all hooks up together, and I'll let you explain that. But I do believe that everything was non-detect except for something in the water, but that's because it's flowing from the airport ditch. So I'll let Mike, he analyzed those with Shannon and Wilson a little better. But it is a major undertaking. And so every time they have to do something, it's pretty spendy.
Okay, Councilmember Taylor, did you want to address that?
Sure, maybe I can add to that. That $5,000 bill was for, I think, six sediment samples down the center line of Glenn's ditch. So the Ben's point is that sampling of this kind costs money. And some of that is their travel time here and, you know, all that travel and hotel costs and so forth for them is part of their bill. So it costs money to take samples. We do have some samples in the area of same old road. Of course, there are several near 77 same old road. And the sampling, we actually have pulled ditches during the, after the last flood along some of that side of that road. So we would be doing probably a similar shallow ditch, just enough to put 18-inch culverts under driveways, and the material would go onto the road right next to it. So it's not going to be moved anywhere. But we do have some sampling that we can include in our as we develop the project.
All right, thank you. Any other questions, comments? Okay. And are we ready for the question? Okay. Madam Clerk.
Councilmember Patrick?
Yes.
Councilmember Mikowiak?
Yes.
Councilmember Bishop?
Yes.
Councilmember Taylor?
Yes.
Councilmember Driscoll?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Taylor?
Yes.
Madam Mayor?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Okay, and we're up to item number 9, approve City of Gustavus Capital Improvement Plan for 2024 through 2028. And I'll ask City Treasurer Ben Sadler to come and join us again about this.
Point of order, we need a motion for discussion.
Thank you.
Hi, it's Rachel Patrick. I move to approve the City of Gustavus Capital Improvement Plan for 2024 through 2028.
And is there a second?
I'll second that. Okay. Vice Mayor Taylor.
All right. Okay. And it is moved by Councilmember Patrick and seconded by Vice Mayor Taylor. To approve the City of Gustavus Capital Improvement Plan for 2024 through 2028. And I'll ask the Treasurer Ben Sadler to provide a summary of this item at this time.
And so the Capital Improvement Plan, I just updated it based on the recommendations by the Council at the Capital Improvement Plan meeting that we had back in February. Updated some of the amounts, moved stuff into seek funding for, just rearranged it and tried to put it together a little bit better for this year than last year.
Okay, thank you. Is there any public comment on the capital improvement plan? Okay, seeing none, do the council wish to debate this item? Yes, go ahead, Councilmember Driscoll.
Yeah, I just have one question when I'm looking at the completed projects. And the one that I guess I don't have any information on is the fish waste disposal facility. Can you describe that quickly as to what that is?
Yeah, so we were having problems a few years ago with people dumping fish carcasses in the boat harbor. And it's actually Lori Trummer, I believe, is who started the whole ball rolling on that. She thought that if we had something down there where people could dispose of fish carcasses and other waste, which also gets dumped in the boat harbor, that that the Marine Facilities Coordinator and the DRC could coordinate to move that waste from a bear-proof canisters in the boat harbor to the landfill. And so at first it got put off because we were afraid that we might receive too much fish waste and it would overload our composting activity. And 2 years ago, Paul and I discussed it and agreed that we could make it happen. And so we Glacier Bay Construction donated concrete. We poured a concrete pad. We attached a bear-proof canister for fish waste along with two or three canisters for recyclables and other waste, so that if people did dump their regular trash down there, they might sort it out and not just dump it all in with the fish waste. And last year was we finally got it opened up and going. Larry Platt was able to get it open. And I don't know the numbers. Larry, when he comes back, or maybe Ian could say how much fish waste was actually collected, but that's what it is.
Yeah, I don't see Ian. Oh, yes. Ian, did you want to comment on that?
Ian here. I'll just say that I don't have any numbers on how many pounds of fish waste that we received last year, but I can look that up tomorrow and forward it to city.
Okay, thank you. Ian, go ahead.
So rather Council than Member Driscoll. This is Councilmember Driscoll. Numbers, I just want to know, is the problem successful? Is it working? Is it something that is going forward?
It is something that'll continue to go forward, and hopefully it'll be successful. Not being the Marine Facilities Coordinator last year, I wasn't down there to witness it. And Larry not being maybe as much of a complainer as I was, I didn't hear a lot about it. But I do know that he did remove waste from it. We thought that we might have to use the Bobcat to move. We put a bin in there so that when you dump your fish waste in, it wouldn't go all over the place. We could then remove the bin and take it over and put it in the landfill. And we thought that, Paul and I thought we might have to use the Bobcat to do that. I believe from the conversations I did have with Larry that he was able to use his truck. So he was able to move the bins with his hands rather than with the machine. So maybe not as much as we thought we might see, but as people find it down there, hopefully it will pick up steam. And there are people that, I don't want to go on too long, but there are plenty of people who dump food off the end of the dock too. And that's, a state dock problem, not necessarily a city of Gustavus problem, but when all that stuff washes up on the beach, it is kind of a eyesore. And so it was my intention when we first started talking about it, that maybe some of the people that were doing that would use the containers as well. And although Paul and I knew that the city might lose some revenue to food waste being properly deposited into the boat harbor rather than being taken to the landfill, we thought that the loss of income revenue due to that would be worth it to not see so much stuff floating up on the beach in the summer.
Okay. Thank you, Ben. Oh, yes, go ahead. Councilmember Patrick.
Yes, this is Rachel Patrick. So where are these fish waste containers located? And was this ever advertised, just put out for the public? Because this is the first I'm actually hearing of this, and that's very interesting.
Well, it's, we didn't put out a flyer or anything. We didn't want necessarily it to be a, hey, there's a new place to dump your trash in town. But when you go into the boat harbor, you go down Boat Harbor Road, you go past the left-hand turn where you would go into the DRC, and right there is the marine facility shed. Right past that, you'll see the on the left there, between, it's on the left-hand side of the parking lot if you're looking at the boat launch.
Yes, I'll go ahead, Administrator Leary.
Yes, Kathy Leary. Part of the issue was the ability to process too much fish waste with the compost. We don't until we get the new composting facility, the amount of fish waste that can be accepted is there's a capacity for how much we can take at this point. The other part of that was with the hopes that people, the landfill was closed or they couldn't take it there and they were coming in the boat harbor, instead of dumping it all off the side of the ramp there, that they would go and put it in there and hopefully not have to put too much of food waste. There was a bunch of stuff mixed in when we first started with it, and I think it got adjusted so that people can't just shove bags in there. it's a smaller hole, and so they have to feed the fish carcasses through it because people were dumping their trash, even though there were signs saying, please don't dump your trash. So it's not without its downside to do that. And maybe at some point we can figure out how to make it work better, but it's kind of an experiment.
Yeah. And we did at the time, you know, Paul and I knew when we were doing it, that it would be, that there would be problems, but, you know, having spent so much time down there and seeing where people do dump food waste and fish and whatever, it just seemed that the city could spend a little extra money to try to decrease that somewhat. And one thing I had forgotten until Kathy started talking was that Paul and I thought that the fish waste, the amount of fish waste that we could possibly take to add to the composting process would make the compost that we were creating that much more valuable. And perhaps at some point we could raise the price of the compost, offset the cost of the food waste, not making it directly into the landfill.
Okay. Thank you all. Any,
I just want to go on record that if we,
this is Council Member Patrick.
Sorry, Rachel Patrick. If we want to have these things for the public to use, we need to let them know it's there, because there was a lot of problems with fish dumping at the Boat Harbor even last year, and I didn't know this was here. So I'm sure the people that were dumping the fish probably didn't know it was there. Just put that on the record. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Anybody else? Okay, moving on. Are we ready for the question? And Madam Clerk, can you call the roll?
Councilmember Makoviak?
Yes.
Councilmember Bishop?
Yes.
Councilmember Taylor?
Yes.
Councilmember Driscoll?
Yes.
Councilmember Patrick?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Taylor?
Yes.
Madam Mayor?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Okay. Item 10. And is CY 2410, resolution assuring unfettered, or a resolution by the City of Gustavus asserting that unfettered public access to the Falls Creek lands via the Hydra Road is a public right. And I, at this point, I move to postpone item 10 and to a time certain at the May 13th, 2024 Gustavus City Council General Meeting. Is there a second?
I'll second that, as Vice Mayor Taylor.
Okay. And my reason for doing so is that I was contacted today by Michelle Olney, and the attorneys for both the Olneys and AP&T are going to be talking with each other, and the FERC has also requested a meeting with the parties. So we would like to give an opportunity to see if there is a resolution that may come out of their meetings, and which is why we'll postpone it and pick it up again in May if no progress has been made. Okay, is can we have a call for the? Oh, sorry, thank you. Is there any public comment at this time?
You get public. I don't think you get public comment on a on a postponement motion.
Thank you.
I believe you're correct. Thank you, Councilmember Taylor.
Thank you, my advisors. Okay. Shall we have a call for the question then? Unless there's debate. No debate. Okay. Could you do the roll call?
Councilmember Driscoll?
Yes.
Councilmember Patrick?
Yes.
Councilmember Makoviak?
Yes.
Councilmember Bishop?
Yes.
Councilmember Taylor?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Taylor?
Yes.
Madam Mayor?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Okay. Coming up is item 11. Approve to accept the funding for the cybersecurity assessment grant and approve the selected vendor structured communication systems. Do I have a motion? This is Vice Mayor Taylor here.
I move to approve to accept the funding for the cybersecurity assessment grant and approve the selected vendor structured communication systems.
Is there a second?
Rachel Patrick, second.
Okay, Councilmember Patrick. Okay. Okay. So the motion by Vice Mayor Brian Taylor approved to accept the funding for the cybersecurity assessment grant and approve the selected vendor structured communication systems, seconded by Councilmember Patrick. And I think that the City Administrator Kathy Leary would like to give us a report about this, a summary.
Oh, well, other than the summary, I gave it the work session. Basically, because it's an over $10,000 expenditure, we do need to have the council approve it. After this, we're going to have a resolution to extend the contract so that we can do this grant process with the current vendor that we have. And so just to get it all in order so we can get it signed and sent in and the purchase order processed, the council needs to approve the expenditure and the contract.
Okay. And are any member of the public, any members of the public wish to comment? Okay, seeing none, do council members wish to comment? Yes, go ahead, Councilman Driscoll.
Yes, thank you. So, Kathy, I see that it has a section here on structural deliverables, but can you just, in your own words, tell us what are we going to get from, can you give us a global picture of what we're going to get from this?
Sure. So the state emergency management and Alaska Municipal League were working together because so many smaller places have managed service providers. They don't have IT staff. And there's so many cybersecurity issues and breaches and everything going on everywhere that they put some money aside to do assessments of our systems. Well, because we have a managed service provider, their systems have to be looked at as well. So they would look at where our equipment is, you know, how it's set up, how it's being managed. But three out of the four organizations who got this grant all have the same managed IT services provider. So we were able to negotiate a little bit of a more condensed price because they really don't have to go over their stuff so many times. I don't know how else technically to put it, but it's just sort of a bundle that we did together, and Structured is the group that will come in and they'll look at our setup and whatever the protocols are supposed to be for safe IT services. And at the end of the day, they will come back with recommendations. And if we have this assessment and any of the recommendations are such that maybe we need to buy a specific piece of equipment, or maybe we need to watch for other, you know, take on other precautions or other services, then you can use that to actually go after other funding, especially if it's large. But Alaska Technical Solutions is already gearing up to work with Skagway and Seldovia, and we're next after we'll be working all together. Does that answer?
Yes, thanks. Okay. That gives me a better picture of what we're looking at. Thank
okay.
you.
Okay. And just so you know, it was kind of like a, hey, this is out there if anybody wants to jump on it. And so we did, because we do have weird stuff happen here with our, like I call them computer gremlins and stuff going on all the time. So I thought it would be a good idea.
Vice Mayor Taylor.
Yeah, I mentioned this in the last meeting and just want to go on record again, kind of restating this, that one of the things I'd love to see come out of this, and I'm not sure if the report they give us will be suitable for it, but if we could develop some kind of cybersecurity risk management onboarding materials for new council members or for a new mayor, you know, things to watch out for and be aware of, just to keep us in line with best practices too. I'm not certain if their deliverables are going to include that sort of human level or mostly be focused on infrastructure level, but that's something I'd love to see come out of this. So.
Good suggestion. Okay. Are we ready for the call for the question? Okay, go ahead, Madam Clerk.
Councilmember Driscoll?
Yes.
Councilmember Patrick?
Yes.
Councilmember Mikoviac?
Yes.
Councilmember Bishop?
Yes.
Councilmember Taylor?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Taylor?
Yes.
Madam Mayor?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Okay, item 12 is CY24 dash, I'm sorry, Madam Clerk, I don't have a number on this resolution. 11. Okay. A resolution by the City of Gustavus to authorize an additional one-year extension for managed IT services with Alaska Technical Solutions. Okay, is there a motion?
Yeah, I move to approve CY24-11, resolution to authorize an additional one-year extension for managed IT services with Alaska Technical Solutions.
Okay, that would be Vice Mayor Taylor. And is there a second?
Rachel Patrick seconds.
Okay, second. All right. So we have a motion for resolution 24-11, a resolution by the City of Gustavus to authorize an additional one-year extension for managed IT services with Alaska Technical Solutions. And we will need someone to read the resolution at this time.
Yeah, I'll be happy to do that. Whereas the City of Gustavus entered into a contract with Alaska Technical Solutions to provide managed IT services starting July 1st, 2021 for fiscal year 22. And whereas two extensions have already been approved under City Ordinance Section 4.01.010, City Obligations, allowing for a maximum of two annual contract extensions, and whereas a cybersecurity assessment project funded by a Homeland Security grant requires participation by our current managed services provider, and that work will cross over into fiscal year 25, and whereas City Ordinance 4.17.050, Exceptions to Competitive Contract Requirements, provides for several exceptions, two of which satisfy an exception in this instance, either for C, emergency procurement, or D, procurement of consultant, technical, real estate, architect, engineer, or audit services. And whereas in order to be able to complete the assessment project, the Gustavus City Council needs to authorize a one-time additional year extension to the current contract with Alaska Technical Solutions, now therefore be it resolved that in the interest of continuity for the cybersecurity assessment process, the City Council of Gustavus, Alaska authorizes an additional one-year contract extension starting in FY25 to Alaska Technical Solutions.
Well done. Thank you. And City Administrator Larry, did you want to give us a brief overview of why this is necessary?
This basically just describes it, what it is. We just have to make sure the council agrees to the exception and votes to pass it so that we can manage this project with the same service provider that we started with, or that we will be starting with, because part of it's probably going to occur in this fiscal year and bridge into the next fiscal year. So,
Crossover, thank you. Do any members of the public wish to comment on this item? Okay, seeing no hands. Do council members wish to comment? We'll bring debate. Okay, I see. Let's go ahead, Vice Mayor Taylor.
So I've taken some time to review the current contract and the offers that we got when this was last put out to bid. And I know that Kathy has already mentioned this, but I do want to reiterate that the contract we currently have seems to be more than competitive, considering the only other bid we got when we put out for bid was about the monthly cost of the other bid was equal to the annual cost of our current contract. So I think that if there's concerns around, you know, getting around competition, that probably not as warranted as you might think they are.
All righty, thank you for that. All right. And are we ready for the question? Madam Clerk?
Councilmember Driscoll?
Yes.
Councilmember Patrick?
Yes.
Councilmember Mikoviac?
Yes.
Councilmember Bishop?
Yes.
Councilmember Taylor?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Taylor?
Yes.
Madam Mayor?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Okay, we've moved up to City Council reports. This item is not to be confused with the next item, Council questions and comments. Council members wishing to make a report on special projects may do so now. First item we have is Coffee with Council by the Taylors.
Well, I'll field this briefly. I'll keep it pretty brief. So we had this second iteration of our Coffee with Council event, which is basically designed or idealized to be an opportunity for the public to come and chat with us about their concerns in a significantly less formal setting. We've had members of the community voice concerns about moving it around to different locations so that we can get contact with all different segments of our town's population. So this time we had it at the coffee house over at Alaska Seaplanes. But I think that we'd had some lessons around making sure we're broadly advertising this, as well as the benefits of finding people where they are, because the turnout was significantly lower than the first event. We had one person who turned out to chat with us, although we did have a really fruitful discussion that ranged from location choices for future events. They mentioned the Cottonwood Lodge as a potential opportunity to get people out, and then they liked the idea of using this as a way to get people out to support local businesses, which I agreed with. Also, they felt strongly about ensuring continued remote access to meetings. We also briefly discussed the idea of getting a VPSO and how, in their view, it's more of a when and not an if, and you know how we would fund that. Really wide-ranging discussion, so I won't get into all the details here, but I think that's, unless Mike has anything he'd like to add, I'll leave it there.
No, I think you covered it about as well as I could. Thank you.
Thank you. You both. Yes, ma'am.
This is the clerk. Would you be able to just write a quick summary just so we can have that on file?
Yeah, certainly.
Thank you.
Okay. Next item is the bike path grants for Councilmember Muscoviac. And I've also asked him if he could give us a short report of the Tongass planning session that he sat in on.
Okay. As you know, the Safe Streets and Roads for All grant we applied for, we were denied, even though we had the consultants looking over our shoulder. Our application was for to implement the project. And they require first that we have a comprehensive safety plan, a community-wide one. So there's a grant opportunity opened again, and I think that we should apply for it. And this is to develop a safety plan. And I looked at the communities that had received grants, and Haynes and Whittier were fairly similar to Gustavus and both received them. So I contacted them and I asked them for copies of the narratives that they submitted with their plan. And based on those, I wrote a narrative out, and I think that I'm going to work with Kathy this week here, and we're going to submit another application here to see how that goes. And I will add too that another grant opportunity has come available through Alaska Sea Grant, and it's for marine debris removal. And there were a couple of old floats just south of the boat harbor in the Salmon River that are deteriorating, lots of styrofoam in them. And I contacted the people to administer this, and I told them what was going on, sent them a picture, and they said, yes, this would apply. So it's, I think we should apply for that. There is a webinar this week, and I'll be attending that and finding out what goes on. Regarding the Forest Services meeting, it was held at the community center. There were about 20 people from Gustavus there. There were two people from the Forest Service, including Barb Miranda, who still has a place in Gustavus. And they gave a very nice presentation, and they asked us to prioritize and comment on different items there. You know, should we have timber harvest? Should we focus on, you know, things like maintaining roads or whatnot? And they had ways to, you could put a little token in a slot under each item and kind of vote that way. And that's that way they'll get an idea of what's going on. And these plans require being reviewed every so often. And that's right now what they're doing. And it's probably going to be a 2-year project. And there'll be more opportunities to comment on it.
All right. Thank
that's
you.
That's all I have.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I don't see any clarifying questions from other council members. Oh, Councilmember Patrick?
Just about the Salmon River floats. I know this is just in the very beginning stages, and I did see the pictures that you provided of some of those floats that are just, you know, on the sides. But I just want to make sure that some of those floats that are just appear that they're just sitting there, you know, just wasting away, are actual, like during high tide, that's how we actually get out to the functioning floats during the wintertime when we can't tie up at the front dock. So So I just want to make sure if we do take away those makeshift walkways, then we need to think about something in the future. How else are we going to be able to get out there? Thank you.
I I've never seen those utilized at all. Sorry, my phone is ringing. I'll get that stopped. Okay, well, I'm back.
Okay.
Is there anything else?
Oh, no, I think you're in the middle of a sentence about not seeing the floats used for walkways or other purposes. No?
Yes, I haven't mm-hmm. seen them used that way. I mean, there's the float that's there that Bruce Smith ties up to a number of other people, and people mm-hmm. use that. These are pretty high, and actually, I think they may even be on Ben DeVere's property.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we good? Okay.
But anyway, if there's an issue that they can be utilized or something, or are being utilized somehow, then we should address that.
Okay, thank you very much, Jim. Next item is the city beautification update by Councilmember Driscoll.
Yes, thank you. And so I'm on the task with getting flowers for the baskets for the city, and I have contacted the a place in Juneau, and we're going to be getting 12 baskets, and they will be hung around various places in town. I had a budget for $900, and the 12 baskets will come to $635. And then in addition, there's going to be starts that will be put into the boxes by the Salmon River Park. And then there's also be the cost for crating them up, but they will be delivered to us by Chuck Schroth. He's offered to bring them to us. And so I left a little bit of money in the budget because we have baskets that we already bought from last year. And so I've talked with Jen and the possibility of her of us buying some potting soil that could then be, if people had flowers they wanted to donate, they could get the baskets because she has them, get the baskets from her and some potting soil to put starts that they had to add to the ones that we've purchased. So as it gets a little bit closer to it, we'll figure out some of the details. And there's been some bunch of volunteers who have volunteered to help maintain them, which is always the issue. Ben has said he would do the one here in City Hall. Debbie Hemingway had told me that she would work on the ones at the Salmon River Park, and with Ann's help as well. And Leah, and I see she's on. And so we did talk a little bit about the GBA being able to help water the ones at the by the airport and the dock. And the ones for the dock, I've specifically ordered that they will be resistant to wind so that they'll be flowers that hopefully will be able to withstand some of the windy conditions from there. So as we get a little closer, I'd like to maybe meet with Leah and see how we can make sure that that happens. And so I think it's going to be just a great way to make the city a little bit more beautiful.
Thank you. Right. Councilmember Taylor, yes.
If we're done with that one, I'd have a report on road maintenance.
Okay.
Probably most of you are aware that at this time of year, normally we are putting out an RFQ. Or preparing an RFQ at this point and putting it out soon for annual road maintenance. And that has been the process for a number of years. For the last couple of years, though, and I think some of you are aware, we've discussed this on and off in work sessions and so forth, that we were looking into a different model for road maintenance. And that model would be one where road maintenance would be kind of an outsourced department. Since we don't have the staff and we don't have all the equipment to do the work of a public works department that maintains its own roads, we would outsource not just the actual maintenance work that we've been contracting, but even the decision making, the identifications of the work that needs to be done and so forth. As in other words, make it part of the responsibility of the road maintenance contractor to just to manage road maintenance on behalf of the city. And in response, of course, to input from the city administrator and public input through the city, where if they were missing something that needed to be done. And because this is a different model, rather than putting it out as an RFQ, a request for quotation, which is something you do for construction work or, for construction work in general. This has an element of management to it. And so we think that doing it in the format of a request for proposal is more appropriate. I've drafted up a request for proposal just had some more, did some more work on it today. It's about ready to, for the review of the city administrator and the mayor to see if they think we've missed anything and to decide whether we want to get input from the city attorney on it. We would put it out this month and have a pre-bid or pre-proposal meeting on, let's see, I'm not sure I've got the right date here. At any rate, shortly after it goes out, there'd be on May 10, and there would be a pre-proposal meeting, and then we would, April 29 is pre-proposal meeting. May 2, the city would answer any questions that came up by anybody who is proposing, who is planning to propose. May 10, it would close, and then we would award it. When after it closes, though, we would negotiate with the selected contractor to make sure that we have terms that, you know, a mutual understanding of how this is going to work, and can determine exactly what we want to have in an actual contract. Normally on an RFQ job, the RFQ itself becomes the contract document along with a purchase order. But since we are asking them to propose how they're going to go about this work, we can't do a contract until we've kind of negotiated that out. So we would develop a contract in the middle part of May and then have it ready to present to the city council for approval at the general meeting in June, so it could go into effect July 1. And it would be for 3 years instead of just 1 year. And part of the intent of this approach is to make sure that the road maintenance contractor has enough assurance of work for a long enough period of time that they can make investments that they may not be willing to make for an uncertain length of time. For only a year's contract, and the contract would even be renewable by mutual agreement and approval by the council after another 3 years, so it could be removed for a second 3 years for a total of 6 years if it's going well. So that's the plan. It's a different model. And I guess I'd like to know if there are any concerns that you have about going to this approach and what they might be, because otherwise I would propose that we would go ahead and put this out administratively this month, as long as the mayor and the city administrator are satisfied with the proposal as it's written. So,
Councilor Patrick.
Hi, yes, Rachel Patrick. My only concern is just off the very top of hearing this is just relinquishing all that control over to a contractor where we have zero say whether it's getting overused or underused. And there goes our road budget because we don't know how it's going to be utilized. So I think it needs to be, if there is a contract in place, it has to be extremely thought through
because how, like, it's no longer on us or you or any of us to say, yes, this is a good time to plow or grade, or maybe it's not getting done at all and they're still getting the money. And that's just my main concern, is that.
Certainly those are the kinds of considerations that we have to have built into it. And for one thing, they would only get paid for work they actually do. But there would be provisions in there for some things that they don't get paid for currently. For example, inspecting roads to determine what the needs are. Something that the city should do, but we have a hard time ourselves getting out and, you know, as volunteers, or the city administrator is so busy getting out and looking at roads and determining, gee, we ought to grade this one, or, you know, that, or put gravel on this one. So we would outsource that, and they would be able to bill for time they spend for inspecting and determining what needs to be done. Secondly, they would meet with the city administrator on a regular basis, and that would be written into the contract, presumably, to assure that, and of course, the city administrator can give them any input at any time, just as the city administrator could do for a department head that was a city employee. So the contractor would be getting direction from the city administrator and feedback as to whether we believe that the quality of maintenance is meeting our expectations. And the hope that I have is that this model will improve overall maintenance across the city, and that we will actually, the public will have a more serviceable road system than they have with the city directing the maintenance.
Okay. And I see we have Councilmember Moskowiak has his hand up.
Yeah, I just want to say how fortunate we are to have competent contractors who are here all the time and willing to do the work. And, you know, I think this sounds like a good idea to me.
Okay. And I guess I'll speak because this is a new model and a radical change from what we've done. I'm concerned about not having council review of it going out administratively, because the only opportunity the council would have, as I understand, it would be to review the contract. So if it's a matter of needing to move rapidly, perhaps we could use the special meeting that proposed by the Treasurer Sadler about setting aside some time to discuss it at the special meeting.
Sure. We can do that. We should look at, do we need to adjust the schedule that I've written into it? And do you want to do that before we put it out for proposals?
Yes.
Okay, so that means we got to do it very soon. Mm-hmm. We're trying to, there's a lot of work to do this to get it done before the 1st of July when the existing contract expires. So okay, we do need to move, unless we think we want to do an extension on the existing contract, which we did do once before.
So, okay, thank you. No.
Madam Mayor, Councilmember Taylor, that special meeting currently is going to be next Monday, the 15th at 6 o'clock, and that is to get that NCO done. So if we could, do you think that you would have that request for proposal ready for the council to view then?
Yes.
Okay.
Councilmember or Vice Mayor Taylor?
Just a point of clarification. Are we talking about the same special meeting as the city budget that is next Monday at 6 o'clock?
So two different meetings. There will be a budget work session meeting, and I believe we will now push that probably closer to 6:30 with now adding this road maintenance. And then we have, because a work session, we're not taking action, right? And so then we have the special meeting, which was for the NCO originally to get that passed through. So that way that would be that introduction of it. And we could also put this road maintenance under that special meeting as well. So that way we could take action. And those two items won't take long.
Okay, you say we would introduce it at the work session?
No, then introduce it at the special meeting on Monday the 15th.
And then vote on it. When?
No, oh, no, just that that's for the NCO will be introduced. Public hearing for the NCO will be in May. And then we'll do the roads proposal review and approval of it at the special meeting as well.
Okay.
And then we'll adjourn the special meeting, and then we'll go into a work session for the budget at 6:30.
Okay. And what is the date on this Monday? Next Monday?
Monday the 15th. And I will make the notices and post everything Wednesday and send everything out to you guys.
Okay. And are you okay with that, Councilmember Taylor? Okay.
Certainly.
All right.
I have a question.
Yes, Councilmember Driscoll.
Councilmember Driscoll. And so just I think it's a great concept. I think it's great to give the ownership of the roads to the people actually doing them. But I'm curious if you have just a ballpark figure as to cost-wise how it would compare to the current system.
That's a good question. I hope we would spend more money on it, because the more money we spend, the more good work we can get done. But we are also constrained by our operating budget on one hand. However, we can supplement for road maintenance out of some of the stuff that we would probably want the contractor to do would be projects that could be funded out of the capital savings. So we could supplement what we have in the operating budget with capital projects to make the best use of, you know, of their availability. For a contractor to gear up to do this sort of thing, and I mean, we hope that this will make it possible for the contractor, for example, to lease or acquire equipment that is maybe more modern, and knowing that they're going to be able to get a return on investment over a 3-year period at least on it. So we want to make it something that is worth their while. And one thing they would probably propose is a minimum billing for the whole year. In other words, we would give them at least X amount of work, so $100,000 or $150,000 or whatever we agree to. And so that they would be confident they're going to get at least that much work. And we can certainly there's plenty of work to do on roads that we haven't been doing, and so there's no shortage of work that can be done if we're willing to fund it. So it's a matter of how much the council is willing to put into it each year.
Okay, go ahead, City Administrator.
I haven't looked at what you guys put together yet, but it's also possible that there could be regular maintenance and operations, and they could suggest sort of other as requested for special things, like we really do need to run a bunch of gravel from the gravel pit to Four Corners if we want to do anything more with that road, so that it doesn't have to be graded every third day and people aren't calling in. And so, I mean, it's not saying they would do that work, but if they were to do that work and we wanted to order it, so we'd have the regular money from the operating budget, and then we could supplement special projects just like they do now when they say this is how much, they have a spreadsheet of what it costs to do various roads. So like, or how much a 10-yard dump truck of gravel costs. So those things could be built in as ancillary to the regular services or the routine services.
Yes, go ahead.
And then just, Mike, is there a precedence for this type of a model?
I understand it. This sort of thing is being used in some other places. I asked a DOT engineer today. He said he's not aware. Well, he thinks it's a concept that is being used in other, some cases in other states, like the Arizona highway system he mentioned. There's no city in Southeast Alaska that we know of that's doing this. Of course, no city in Southeast Alaska, or in fact anywhere in the state, has the number of road miles per capita that we have. to maintain. So we've got a much bigger road maintenance issue here per capita for the size of community then, you know, that makes it tough for us to do a good job on them. Oh, and I should mention too that rather than having unit prices for grading a road or putting so much gravel on one road, we would probably have billing rates that are hourly for the equipment used and operated. So we wouldn't have to check what the price was supposed to be for grading hemlock, for example.
All right, any other, yes, anybody else? Any other members and the council members? Okay. Looks like we're up to my report. I have a written report, fairly brief, but we've already discussed the Alaska Airlines summer schedule for law enforcement and public access on the Hydro Road. Conservation Lands Advisory Committee, a work group is formed to discuss the formation of a Conservation Lands Advisory Committee and to review a draft resolution to be introduced at the May Council meeting. That group is meeting tomorrow afternoon. The Hoona Borough petition, Hoona filed a reply brief with the Local Boundary Commission, and the approximate date for the Local Boundary Commission staff to file a preliminary report is May 20th, following which the public will have 49 days to submit comments. And I wanted to congratulate the community of Gustavus on our 20th anniversary of incorporation of the city. 50 community members have served on the council, and I'm the lucky 13th person to serve as mayor. The first council consisted of Becca King, Hank Lentfer, Lou Cassiopo, Tim Gibson, Martha Romero, Wayne Howell, and Sandy Marchbanks. Sandy was the first mayor, Wayne was the first vice mayor, and Ben Sadler was the first employee as secretary treasurer. The council met in what is now the front room in City Hall, and it had no plumbing. The population at the time was estimated at 450, and Alaska Department Fish and Game published a report that we had twice as many moose as people. So just want to wish everyone in the community a happy anniversary, and also to thank Councilmember Driscoll and Sandy Stroth, and also City Clerk for putting together a commemoration, and also Tracy Lowell for baking muffins in the motif of the strawberry. I had one item which just came up yesterday, which is out at the airport trail, the airport road trail that goes out to the beach. A community member's dog was caught in a trap. I don't know why the dog didn't break her leg when I looked at the trap. She also may have to have sort done on her teeth, which were damaged in trying to release herself. The community members were there, and another community member arrived really quickly and helped release the dog. So it's been suggested by a community member that we have a meeting to discuss what kind of options are available so that we can kind of coexist, and so that this type of injury doesn't occur again. It was an area that's fairly frequented by people and dogs and children, and so we have to see if we can figure out a way that trapping can coexist without endangering community animals. And that's all that I had. We have come up to the last opportunity for public comment, and I'll again ask if there are any members of the public that wish to comment on non-agenda items. Yes, Madam Clerk. Oh, okay. All right. And this is the time for additional questions and comments that are not part of the agenda. Yes, Madam Councilmember Driscoll.
Yes, thank you. So hopefully this is a feel-good thing. I was one of several council members who got a letter from Frisch Kostman about updating the bench, and then sent that on to all the members, and I just wanted an update to see what's happening on that.
Yes, go ahead, City Administrator.
And I did just send it out from what I answered. So Shelley had said she'd be happy to talk about the replacement bench, and she included me because I had been doing some research on benches and picnic tables. And when we do this project here for the walkway in back of the playground equipment, we're doing it with the HDPE recycled plastic lumber, which is pretty much bulletproof mostly. And so I didn't know, knowing that Fritz works with a lot of wood products and stuff, how he might feel about that. So I said that we plan to order extra HDPE boards when we build the handicap walkway to the playground equipment. While wood is nice, it does rot a lot after a while in our southeast weather. We want to build a few picnic tables with the HDPE recycled lumber. How do you feel about using that kind of material for a bench at the beach? It's durable and can be cleaned and wiped off easily and won't rot. It just won't have the rustic look of real wood. And so he said, plastic is probably the way to go. Aluminum supports embedded in cement and replaceable wood slat boards would work too. The wood could be removed for treating staining. The bench must be comfortable. But he thought either way we could do either, but they just are such so easily maintained. So we do plan to order extra boards, and I think it would be good to put supports in the cement that we could take, you know, fasten the boards too. That's where we're at with it right now. I don't know what people prefer. I just feel like we're always having to haul off soggy, wet, sagging picnic tables that, you know, weigh about 500 pounds after they absorb all the water. So, and you know, and they're also, when you go to sit on them, they're damp and they're wet where when they get waterlogged, and these things you can literally wipe off. So that's what I was hoping we could do.
Okay. Does anybody else have something they'd like to talk about? Great. I don't see anybody else on Zoom either. And so we will return to the last opportunity for public comment on non-agenda items. Anyone out there? Okay. Do we have any further business? Don't see any further business. Since there is no further business, meeting adjourned. The time is 8:39 p.m. Thanks, everybody.